My respected elders and brothers, with Allah's grace and mercy tonight, we have completed three quarters of the 27th juz, and effectively tonight we have completed up until the end of Surah Al-Waqi'ah. One verse which was recited tonight is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. In fact, we're going to discuss quickly two verses, and then inshallah we have two of our youngsters inshallah who will recite some Quran, and there's a brother inshallah who will recite a nasheed to us tonight inshallah. So I'll try and wrap up quickly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this human being will only receive that which he has made an effort for. Under this verse here, the Mufassirin write, if a person has made an effort for any good deed, made an effort alone for any good deed, so much so that if a person intends to do a good deed, then before even accomplishing that good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the angels that write a good deed for him completely. And when the servant completes that good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him one hasana, and then that one hasana Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala minimum multiplies it 10 times. But a human being will only receive that which he has made an effort for, which he or she has made an effort for. So my respected elders and brothers, this possibly rules out that if somebody else has to do any good deed, will we get the reward of it or not? No, we will not get the reward of it. In terms of faith, if anybody else has iman and somebody else does not have iman, a father has iman, the son does not have iman, the father's iman will not benefit the son. Even vice versa. In terms of deeds also, if a person does whatever good deeds we do, that good deeds are for ourselves. However, does that rule out completely that we cannot do any good deeds for anybody else by making an intention beforehand that, oh Allah, give the reward of this to somebody else? Today we read a verse which actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves that. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. If a person, in fact, the backdrop behind this verse is a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Rasul of Allah, if we do good deeds, but it so happens that our offspring, or for that matter our parents, they have not done sufficient amount of deeds, then what would their turnout be? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept his peace for some time, and thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one person will be placed in Jannah. And upon being placed in Jannah, he will see all the beauties and the high position that Allah Ta'ala has given him. Then he will say to Allah, everything is fine here, except that I don't see my father around, I don't see my mother around, I don't see these close family members of mine. So Allah Ta'ala will reply to him that they have not done sufficient deeds in order to get them such a high position. So he will say to Allah, oh Allah, I will not be pleased up until you don't raise them to my position. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that this is Jannah, whatever you wish for will be granted, therefore your parents will also be granted the same position as yours. So my respected elders and brothers, a person will not receive except that which he has made an effort for. If we have made effort for good children, and if we have made effort for good offspring, and similarly we have made an effort on our parents also and on our family, then respected elders and brothers, that is all part of our effort. That when we have left this world, and we are down under, so to say, and our children, our parents, or for that matter any family member, or any friend, or any person makes any or does any deed, and thereafter they pass that reward over to us, that is also part of the effort that we have made. That is a legacy, so to say, that we have left behind. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once approached by Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu. And Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu said, O Rasul of Allah, if my mother has passed on, and she's passed on in the state of Iman, if I have done anything, can I do anything in order that I can give her some reward? You know, because she's passed on, and I'd like to do something on behalf of her. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, tasaddaq, give sadaqah. So he said, O Rasul of Allah, you advise me, what is the best form of sadaqah that I can do on behalf of my mother? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, saqiyul ma. See that you can make some kind of an arrangement for water. For water, because if you make an arrangement for water, and any human being that drinks from that water, so much so that any creature that drinks, any insect that also benefits from that water, Allah will grant your mother the reward of them. So this is normally we come up with a question, we'd like to do something on behalf of those who have passed on. The best way that we can do, the best kind of reward that we can pass on to somebody who has passed on is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, and that is the giving of water. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, saqiyul ma, giving of water. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi goes one step further. He says that the saying of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is completely comprehensive, and it is all encompassing. So if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, water is the best, literally water is also the best, and metaphorically also water is the best. And if you give an example, like allegorically, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the example of knowledge. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ مَا بَعْثَنِي اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْهُدَى كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ كَثِيرٍ. The example that is given for knowledge is the example of rain, lots of water, rain that comes on, rain water. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says that literal water, if a person makes arrangements for, that is also a great, that is one of the greatest rewards that a person can pass on to those who have passed on. And also figuratively, in other words, if we have invested in anything where there is knowledge of deen and Islam, knowledge of Islam, then too we will get the very same reward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of remembering this here. Then in this very same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ. The end, the final, the ultimate is going to be when you reach your Rabb. Now, that is of course the final of all of ours. We are all heading towards that way. In fact, one of the first few verses that we read today also was فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Flee towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, discard everything and run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this ayat here means that on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or upon Allah, everything ends. And Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi mentions a hadith under this verse here. He says that the Sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Rasul of Allah, sometimes we get doubts in our mind. We get doubts with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get doubts upon sometimes with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to them that إِذَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ فَلْيَنْتَهِ. When you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you remember Allah and you talk about Allah, then all matters end there. Do not delve too much into the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Talk about the sifat and the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but do not dwell and do not delve too much into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Shaitan would approach many amongst you. And Shaitan would come and he would say to you, he'd make this question up. Or this question, in other words, this would be a whisper. And this whisper would be, who has created the heavens? And you'll answer that, and you said Allah. Who has created the earth? And you'll reply to that, and you'll say Allah. And who has created everything around? And you'll reply to that, and you'll say Allah. And then suddenly Shaitan will push this question to you, and who created Allah? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before you get to that point, فَلْيَنْتَهِ. Stop. Don't talk anything further. And this is a point, we all, my respected elders and brothers, at some point in our life, we are overwhelmed with doubt. And sometimes we are faced with doubt. Faced with doubt, sometimes we get these creepy little, thoughts that are going around in our mind. And sometimes we feel even embarrassed to utter them. And guess what? The Sahaba came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, Oh Rasul of Allah, sometimes some of us have such thoughts in our mind that we feel embarrassed to even say it to you. So our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that this would happen. And in fact, the example that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, he said the example is like the example of a thief. A thief only attacks a thief only decides to loot or decides to plunder where there is some kind of valuables, where there is some valuables. So when you have iman and when you have faith, that is a sign that when you have iman and you have faith and then you realize that, okay, I'm getting these whispers, that means there's a sign that you have something, you have some substance in you. You have some substance in you. And that is why there is this attack of Shaitan upon you. How do we get rid of it? Do we try and work it out in our mind? Do we try and uncross and untangle all those cross lines when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when it comes to Allah, فَلْيَنْتَهِ. That's it, end it. End the discussion. And in this one narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, that Allah will not take you to task over those little creepy thoughts that you get, or those little, whispers that you get. Allah will not take you to task so long as you don't do two things. So long as you don't act according to those thoughts, and so long as you don't go about proclaiming those thoughts. You don't go about proclaiming. So here's the antidote. When we are afflicted with these thoughts, and sometimes these little whispers, and these things which mess up our mind, then the antidote for it is, don't talk about it. Then the antidote is, don't follow your brain, don't follow your mind. Don't obey your mind by saying that, if this is truth, if there is no real creator, then what's the point? Is there any real point in my worship? No. Don't entertain the thought at all. But just shove the thought out, and don't dwell on it at all. And my respected elders and brothers, we are told not to. We are told that we don't think and we don't ponder over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, because he is beyond our comprehension. He is beyond this mind of ours. However, we ponder over the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation of Allah. We look at everything, we attribute it to Allah. And we ponder over the sifat of Allah. That means the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says He is all merciful. We ponder over that. Allah's mercy completely encompassing. And that's the surah which we read today, Surah Al-Rahman. And this is a surah amazing. Look at how Allah begins the surah. Allah begins the surah by saying, Ar-Rahman. Allah is the one whose His innate quality, His innate, His intrinsic quality is to be merciful. Ar-Rahman is not the one who is merciful, who is doing, who is carrying out mercy. Allah does that also. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's innate, the very intrinsic quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be merciful. This merciful, He begins the surah with saying, Ar-Rahman, He is absolutely merciful and His mercy encompasses everything. His mercy encompasses all creation. All creation, my respected elders and brothers. Today, the love that you see in any other creature also, if you see any animals, they have a certain amount of care for their offspring. And for that matter, human beings also. All the love that is put together, my respected elders and brothers, that is all in fact the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed from His quality of mercy. So today, whatever we see, our parents have love for us and compassion for us, that is from that mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the example, it's like as if 100 parts of this mercy, 1 part of this mercy has been placed on this earth, and today all the love and all the mercy and all the compassion that we see is actually a manifestation of that 1% of love, of 1% of mercy. It's a manifestation of that 1% of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. 99% of that mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will display on the Day of Judgment. 99%. So much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that even shaitan would probably entertain hope that I probably also will get Jannah. So much. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. So this verse Allah begins with Ar-Rahman. That merciful Allah. Now just look at the sequence of this verse. Ar-Rahman. And then what does Allah say? Allama al-Qur'an. It is His mercy that today He has allowed us to learn the Qur'an. You know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has followed this Ar-Rahman up with Allama al-Qur'an. That it is His mercy that today we can read the Qur'an. It is His mercy that at least we can pronounce the letters of the Qur'an. Maybe we struggle to, but it is His mercy, that merciful being, out of His sheer mercy, or a sign of His mercy, or a great sign of His mercy, is that Allama al-Qur'an, He has taught the Qur'an. So who is the teacher? Allah is the teacher. When it comes to the Qur'an, who is the teacher? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the teacher. Rahman is the teacher, in fact. Rahman is the teacher. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention here, He did not mention the object. He mentioned, of course, what He teaches. He mentioned that it is Rahman, and Rahman teaches the Qur'an. Who does He teach to? Allah left that open. Why? So that any one of us, we can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left that open. Any one of us can be part of that object. We come forward and we could be the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught the Qur'an. But we've got to, of course, make that effort. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the same Rahman, He created khalaq al-insan. He created this human being. So much so that the teaching of the Qur'an, Allah put it even before our creation to show that the Qur'an is so important in our life. It is so important that it is even important, more important than your own life, O human being. I have mentioned the Qur'an prior to I have mentioned your creation, O human being. Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Qur'an. Then Allah said, Khalaq al-Insan. So the Qur'an itself is greater, the revelation of the Qur'an and the teaching of the Qur'an is more important than even your own existence, O human being. And to emphasize that, then Allah said, Allamahu al-Bayan. Allah has given this mankind the power of speech. In one surah which we read today, Surah Al-Qamar, one theme Allah keeps on mentioning again and again. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ. Again, it's got to do with the Qur'an. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ. Indeed, we have made this Qur'an easy. فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرْ. Is there anyone who will make an attempt to memorize it or to learn it? This is the call out from our Creator. He says, I have made it easy for you. The Qur'an, my respected elders and brothers, remember, it's the kalam of Allah. It is such kalam of Allah that even the mountains will not be able to withstand it. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا. That is, it is so weighty, it is so, you know, it is so serious, it is rather so weighty that if it had to be placed on the mountains would have been completely crushed and turned into, you know, they would have turned into pieces. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. But Allah has made it easy for this human being. He simplified the Quran for this human being. And He simplified this kalam for it could be easily memorized, it could be easily learned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Quran was revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Allah, "Oh Allah, this Quran has been revealed on the same dialect of the Quraysh. However, there are certain groups or there are certain branches of this Quraysh who they might not be able to speak the same, the lugha, or rather the dialect of the Hijaz, the people of Hijaz." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Quran in 7 different dialects. The Quran is revealed in 7 different dialects. It doesn't change the Quran at all. It doesn't change the Quran at all. I'll give you a little example for it. If you look in Surah Al-Fatiha, you'll see Surah Al-Fatiha, Maliki Yawmiddin. If you go and look at that word, you'll see it's written as a meme. The meme is followed by a lam, and the lam is followed by a ka. But when we read it, how do we read it? We read it as Maliki Yawmiddin. In other words, we put a, the, you know, the dagger zabar, as they call it, or the kare zabar, we put the kare zabar on top of the meme, right? And that's why we say Maliki Yawmiddin. In other words, we extend the meme, okay? But meme, lam, and kaf, that is how the Quran, that is the Quran, or rather the script of the Quran, the way it was recorded by Uthman radiallahu anhu. That is how the Quran is, so to say, the rasam of the Quran. Now, that can never change, that has never changed. However, when we say 2 different dialects, one dialect would be to recite Maliki Yawmiddin, and another dialect would be, I'm using dialect, it's not the exact translation for Ahruf, but another dialect would be to recite Maliki Yawmiddin, and both have been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In 7 different words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran. And I just thought of something else. One of the great qurra who actually have who is one of the great qurra of the 7 qira'a. Altogether we have 10 qira'a which are revealed and which are absolutely authentic, and that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran. But out of the 7 famous ones, there is one great qari who was known as Ibn Amir al-Shami al-Dimishqi. Ibn Amir al-Dimishqi. He was a great person, he was a tabi'i. He was born 2 years before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, never got to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But my respect to Alexander, I just thought about him because of the current situation that is taking place in Syria. And he was from the heart of Syria. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with this. He became the main component or the proponent who actually spread this particular qira'ah, this particular dialect, or rather a combination of a few dialects upon which the Quran was revealed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qamar keeps telling us again and again, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرَ. Indeed, we have made this Quran easy for you. فَهَلْ مِن مُتَّكِرِ. Is there any takers? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's call unto us. And this is the miracle of the Quran, that the Quran can be memorized. Like they say, when Mountbatten decided to burn all the copies of the Quran in India, this was before the partition had taken place, and when the British were in India, and he decided that we're going to burn all the copies of the Quran. And he started on this initiative of burning all the copies, until one of his henchmen, one of his policemen came in and they brought a 7 or 8 year old child in front, and they said that you can burn all the Qurans around, all the manuscripts of the Quran around, but this is the Quran, this little 7 year old or 8 year old, he has the Quran in his heart. What are you going to do about that? The little 7 year old 8 year old, our children learn the Quran, portions of the Quran, and now and again we hear of little children who are, you know, even 7 8 years old, they have memorized the entire Quran. So that is the miracle of this Quran. Allah has made it easy, and Allah has kept it out there for anyone to learn. The Quran is out there for anyone to learn. فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرْ. But is there any takers? That is in fact what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling out to us. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of really appreciating the Quran, inshallah. There's just 2 of our youngsters and another brother, inshallah, Brother Ijaz. Is Brother Ijaz here? Oh, Brother Ijaz, inshallah, he's saying something.